everyone. My name is Saad Usmani. I'm the chief of the Myeloma Service at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and I'm here with you on behalf of SOHO Insider. We've just are coming back from the ASCO annual meeting, and I'm here with my colleague, Dr. Roberto Mina from the Emory University, who presented data on a pivotal phase 3 trial that is going to change clinical practice, not just in the US, but around the world. Roberto, welcome. You know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Majestic 9 data?
Thank you, Saad. Thank you very much. So my name is Roberto Mina. I'm an associate professor of hematology here at Emory University, Atlanta. And I just presented the data on behalf of the Majestic 9 team of the Majestic 9 study, which is a phase 3 study that compared teclistamab monotherapy to standard of care treatment, which consisted of PVD, pomalidomide, bortezomib, dexamethasone, or KD, carfilzomib, dex, in patients with relapsed refractory myeloma, a very specific population, 1 to 3 prior lines of therapy. All patients had to be exposed to a CD38 antibody, such as daratumumab and lenalidomide. And this is particularly important because this is the population that at relapse we are actually facing now, that patient relapsing from transplant and having been exposed to Dara, to Len, potentially to both during maintenance, maybe a bit early, and also for patients not candidate to transplant. So they receive Dara VRD or Dara RD, and by the time they progress, they'll be exposed to both. So this study was really designed to address that, and patients were received at a standard of care or teclistamab. Teclistamab monotherapy, basically a steroid-free regimen, except for the step-up doses, no steroids were given. And at some point, patient transitioned to monthly administration of tec with a dose of 3 mg as early as cycle 7 or even earlier for patient achieving a VGPR. So the study met the primary endpoint, which was progression-free survival, which was dramatically improved with tec monotherapy. We have a hazard ratio of 0.29, which was statistically significant, of course. 18 months of follow-up, median PFS for tec was not reached. 70% of patients treated with tec monotherapy were alive and free from progression, 27% in the control arm. Median PFS for the control arm, 8 months, so quite fair. Importantly, I would say also, we already see at this early time point a overall survival advantage with a reduction of 40% in the risk of death as compared to standard of care treatment. So this is quite significant and is in line with what we have seen with other studies with BCMA targeting therapies, which really reinforces, I believe, the message that the earlier, the better for immunotherapy. And this is true for CAR T's, true for ADC, and is also now true for TEC. This is the second study that shows this with TEC after Majestic 3. Higher responses, MRD neg, and so on.
So I was going to exactly pivot to that and ask you, you know, so we had the TEC 3 data, you know, which was quite impressive. So, you know, can you draw some, you know, comparisons or differences between the patient populations for both those studies, and how would you apply those data to patients you see in clinic?
This is a $1 billion question about TEC, Dara, and TEC. So it is fair to say that these are two different studies in terms of study population enrolled. TEC, Dara, we know that patients were all exposed to lenalidomide, mostly refractory, while only 5% of patients were exposed to CD38, to daratumumab. The opposite in the Majestic 9, where all patients were exposed and 3 out of 4 were refractory to both agents. So certainly this plays a role. Populations are also somehow different. If you look at the median age and enrollment, almost a decade older in this in Majestic 9. So reflecting of the population that we enrolled in this study. And then the results are different as well. With TEC Dara, we have a 3 years, kind of a plateau. 84% of patients, 83% were alive and free from progression. So overall, my take is that the inpatient exposed or naive to CD38, rare patients now, but also those exposed, not necessarily refractory, I would not be hesitant to give Dara-TEC, the combination. We have a positive PFS and in the forest, but for TEC 3, although the number of patients is small, we'll probably see this also with Dara and TAL. For patients who are refractory, the issue is that we don't have data. And so I would say that TEC monotherapy is certainly highly, highly effective. It is true that when using Dara, we don't need necessarily to only have this cytotoxic effect of Dara. There's also an immunomodulatory effect. But of course, we have very limited data in this Dara refractory population.
Thank you, Roberto. So it's clear that the BCMA bispecifics are making their way into earlier lines of treatment. We already have an FDA label for TECDARA, you know, in early relapse. Now, hopefully, you know, Majestic 9 will lead to a label change, hopefully later this year or early next year, you know, but it would be a welcome change for US practice for sure. And then, you know, the other things that are coming down the pike, there are, you know, a lot of BCMA plus something else combinations with CELMoDs and other drug classes. So I think, you know, this is an exciting time. And hopefully, you know, these therapies continue to move into the frontline setting where we think that, you know, they can help us in functional curative strategy for majority of patients. So, you know, exciting times. Congratulations on your presentation and looking forward to more data to come. Thank you so much, Roberto.
Thank you very much.